The programming on 88.1 FM is made possible in part by WWER Watts members, who show their support of community radio by donating online at wwer.org/membership. If you like our programming, please consider contributing to wwer.org/membership.
Good evening. My name is Karen Sal Sullivan, and I'm sitting here with Antoine Smith on my front porch. Well, it used to be a front porch. It's all glassed in now. But we're going to get to know you a little bit, if it's okay, Antoine.
Yeah, that's perfectly fine with me.
Now, I know you're born and raised here. You grew up here. What was it like when you grew up?
Growing up here in the town of Colonial Beach, I grew up in Riverwood Apartments, which is a Section 8 housing. My time growing up there, it was a lot of different things I experienced going on in the apartment complex, different types of crime, a rescue squad showing up, fire trucks showing up. There was always something going on growing up there as a child. Not really keen on a lot of bad things, but there were some good things that took place there also. I remember as a kid standing outside, and every kid got excited when they saw Steve Swope's Nova pull into Riverwood, because he had a trunk load of balls, bats, and stuff that the school was going to dispose, which he didn't dispose. He brought those to Riverwood, and we utilized those sports equipment to be able to go outside and play, whether it's basketball, baseball, kickball, whatever it may be, to increase our athletic capability and to be able to participate in some type of sporting during our time living in Riverwood Apartments.
I understand Coach played a big role in a lot of young people's lives during his time as a coach, but also after he retired. He's still a very big part of this town.
He is. Also, I remember as a kid, he used to host youth basketball in the winter months. A lot of kids that grew up in Riverwood couldn't afford the fee to be paid at one time, and he allowed payments of $2 every Saturday so every kid could participate in his youth basketball program.
Wow. Did you played sports as a kid. Did you play any sports later in life?
Not later. It was just pretty much youth basketball there. Nothing really in school.
I understand now you work for the Sheriff's Department. You're a deputy?
I am. I'm a master deputy with the Sheriff's Office here in Westmoreland.
And how did you get interested in that?
I got interested in law enforcement when I was very young. I remember Saturday evenings, 8 o'clock, no matter if I was at my mom's or with my grandparents or my godmother, I would make it a point to go inside and watch Cops. It was something that I'd done every Saturday.
That's the TV show.
Yes. Yes, ma'am. It was something I just got attracted to, and I made sure that I was sitting in front of the TV Saturday nights at 8 o'clock to watch Cops. And that drew my interest into law enforcement as a very young boy growing up. Kind of led me in the direction to where I'm at now. I kept my focus because I knew I wanted to be that person, and I knew what I had to do to be that person.
And how did you transition from being a teenager into being a law enforcement officer? Did you start right out of high school, or?
No, I didn't start right out of high school. I started doing hardwood floors, construction, and then I got into law enforcement in 2006 with Colonial Beach Police Department. And in 2008, I was hired by the Sheriff's Office. Sheriff C.O. Balderson hired me. I still remember my start date, April 1st, 2008. It was a great feeling to be hired with the Sheriff's Office because my grandfather was employed at the Sheriff's Office for several years. And I was able to obtain his badge number after my employment with the Sheriff's Office.
And do you still have that same badge number today?
I do.
Wow.
I still have that same badge number today, and I wouldn't change it for the world.
What a legacy to your grandfather. Were you close to your grandfather growing up?
Not the way I want it to be, but it was a distant type situation.
Did he live here?
I lived down Leestown. Both of my set of grandparents lived down Leestown area.
Did you spend some time with them?
on my mom's side, I used to spend a lot of time with my mom's parents up there in Paris Lane and Oak Grove off of Leestown. All of my cousins from up there, everybody's up there is related. We had a bike group that we used to call ourselves Night Riders. We used to go out in spring and summer on weekends and ride bikes.
Were these motorized bikes or
pedal bikes? Pedal bikes. Yeah, yeah. We rode and rode and rode and rode. We stayed playing, but I made sure at 8 o'clock, if I was there on Saturdays, I was inside watching cops. But we still had fun riding and stuff like that as teenagers growing up there.
I think you're yet younger than I am, and I remember when I was young spending all my time outdoors, but it sounds like you're that next generation and you spend all your time outdoors too.
Yeah, I spent a lot of time outdoors playing in the woods, drinking water out of a water hose at my grandparents' house. It was a lot of good times as a kid growing up. Like I said, we didn't have all the cell phone technology, and there was a gaming system, but it wasn't like it is today where you were pretty much drawn into it 24/7.
Right. So I understand that you're also a volunteer fireman.
I am.
How did you get interested in that?
I've always had the urge to want to help people. I got involved with the fire department at a very young age, at the age of 14.
Wow.
I joined Oak Grove Volunteer Fire Department. Their junior program was from 14 to 18. I joined June of 1995. Showing my age now. And I stayed focused, stayed active as a junior. And when I turned 20, I moved my membership to the Colonial Beach Volunteer Fire Department, where I'm currently still volunteer. I'll go out on calls. Newly elected into the president's office of the department, which draws a lot of paperwork, behind the scene type ordeal that we now have to do to make sure paperwork and everything's completed on time.
Oh, that's quite an honor, being president of the volunteer fire department. I understand that you said a little bit of history when you were elected?
Yes, I'm the first black president of the fire department here in town. It's something that kind of, it set in, but it hasn't set in yet. It's still new to me. I mean, but being able to do something that was never done before by another African-American is kind of a big deal to me, because I'm setting that presence for the younger generation to see that they themselves can do that also.
Well, it sounds like to me you are quite the role model for young people. Riverwood Apartments, still today, people that don't have great advantages are living there. So it sounds like you're quite the role model for those young people over there.
Yes, ma'am.
So tell me a little bit about some of your experiences as a fireman.
There's two big incidents I want to key on. One being the Marina Fire.
That's the Colonial
Beach Yacht Club.
Okay, Gallon Point.
Yeah, I'll never forget this. I was sitting at my mom's watching TV, and the fire page went off. So I headed down to the firehouse. On the way down to the firehouse, I noticed a big column of smoke. I'm thinking to myself, oh, this is a big deal. Adrenaline's getting to pumping. Got to the firehouse. I was on the first apparatus that left the station. Arrived there. I was still young then. A lot of fire, a lot of different stuff going on. We was there for, I believe, maybe 2 or 3 days extinguishing the fire. There were several different mutual aid companies from in-state and out-of-state that came and provided assistance to that marina fire that we had. There was actually news coverage of it. Media flying up above and on the location on the site of the fire that was actually covering that incident. That fire scene was ran by former fire chief Tracy Hall at the time.
And how old were you when you worked on that fire?
I was in my early to mid-20s.
Yeah, wow. That we don't have a lot of big fires around here, but that had to be quite an experience. It seems to me that you know, all the fire departments all over this area seem to have a really good camaraderie.
Yes, we do. The biggest fire we had since then was the school fire.
The old high school.
The old high school. That was the biggest fire since the marina fire. That fire, I had just got off work at the sheriff's office. It was probably maybe 2-ish, 3-ish in the morning. I don't remember the time. I was out working selective with the sheriff's office that night. Got home, changed clothes. Within the next 30 minutes, I'm sitting there watching TV. The fire pager went off. Fire at the school went out. I was like, nah, that can't be. It has to be just a false alarm. So I left the house, went to the fire station. Again, was on the first piece of apparatus out of the station that night, well, that morning. That fire became pretty huge quick. And again, we had several mutual aid companies come to assist from in-state and out-of-state. That was another big loss for the town.
It really was. Well, people really hated that we couldn't salvage that building.
Yeah, and I went to elementary school there, so it was kind of a big ordeal to me, knowing that I spent a few years in that school and that I would never be able to walk through there again.
A lot of property damage in both of those fires, but we didn't lose any lives.
We did not.
Very lucky for that. Your job now is a deputy with the Sheriff's Department. I understand CO Balderson has developed some really interesting programs he's actually been recognized for. Can you tell us about some of those?
A couple of programs that we have. We have a Project Lifesaver, which is through the Sheriff's Office, but it's just funded off of donations. That program allows us to purchase equipment to be able to locate not only elderly, but younger kids that are experiencing autism.
Okay.
It allows us to be able to locate them through this device that we attach to either their wrist or their ankle. For elderly people with dementia that may wander off, it's a great tool to locate them. We have had several incidents where we were able to utilize that tool and locate the person that had wandered off.
So if somebody has a loved one that they worry about them wandering off because of Alzheimer's or memory loss or autism, how do they get involved with that program?
They can call down to the sheriff's office, which the phone number is the non-emergency line. It's 804-493-8066. Lieutenant Colonel Hoover oversees that program. I assist him with that. We go out monthly to change batteries on a device. This doesn't cost the person any money at all. It's all based off of donations through the sheriff's office.
What a great program that we have. I've heard of another program that's specifically kind of targeting those of us that are a bit older and might be tempted to help people.
Yeah,
when we're asked.
Yeah, we have a program called Triad. It's a program that they meet monthly. Senior citizens come down to the sheriff's office. Lieutenant Colonel Hoover and a few other representatives throughout the county, the Commonwealth Attorney's Office is involved with it. They sit down and discuss scams that elderly folks should be aware of and kind of go over information to help them educate themselves when they receive those phone calls, somebody trying to scam someone out of money over the phone. It's a great program, and they're always looking for more people to get involved with that program.
I know it's very sophisticated. I have gotten email messages from people that are my friends saying that they're stuck out of the country and can I please send them money? And I'm like, wait a minute, this doesn't make sense, you know?
Yeah, that's a big part of the scams that's going on. And we receive a lot of calls in reference to scams.
You were growing up, were you involved in the church? Around here?
I attended Little Zion Baptist Church out in Oak Grove. What I've done there, I participated on a youth choir, the junior usher board as a kid. I was in church every Sunday as a kid. My grandmother made sure that occurred.
They have a good youth program over there, too, I understand.
Yes, ma'am.
Let's see. Some of the other things that you do with the Sheriff's Department now. What's a bike team?
It's a division we have. We conduct bicycle patrols. I'm currently the team leader for the bike team.
So when we see you guys up here around the beach on the bikes, that's your project or your team?
Yes, ma'am. We try to get out into different subdivisions that we have also, just to be seen and be more visible on a bicycle than in a police car. It's a good tool that we utilize when there's a high crime rate in the area. We utilize the bike team for that.
And so what are some of the advantages of you being on a bike versus being in a car?
If we're at an event, say here in town, most of the time due to the traffic, especially on the 4th of July, we're able to get to that incident that's actually occurring at the time a lot quicker than what you could in a police vehicle.
It seems like it makes you more visible too. It seems more friendly somehow.
It does.
Than a patrol
when you're on
car.
Bike patrol, and especially here in town, outside of town, people out in the yards, they see you, they stop you, offer you water and stuff. You kind of interact more being on your bike than what you do in a police car with the communities.
Have you seen a lot of changes in the past couple of decades since you've been growing up here in Colonial Beach?
I have.
What do you think some of the biggest changes are? I know the boardwalk used to be a lot different.
Yeah, as a kid, there was a lot of stuff on the boardwalk to do. I mean, you had the arcades, the banana slide. On Town Hill, there was a big pool area there. It was a pool. A lot of people spent a lot of time there in the summer. Me, I spent a lot of time on the river because I really couldn't afford to pay the money to go swim. There was a fee to swim in a pool back when I was growing up here in town. But there was a lot of stuff that to keep you busy around town. The blacktop. I know we have the Torrey Smith Park now to kind of move it from where the blacktop was to the top of the hill, in other words, which that's something that's good in town, that the town really needed something for the kids, and that's one way to start.
What do you think we're still missing? What would you like to see if we can afford to do it to continue to improve the place for kids? I mean, that obviously your childhood shaped
you. A bowling alley. A bowling alley would be a huge hit for the town. A bowling alley and a movie theater combined.
Yeah.
Before my time, I remember hearing a lot of older folks talk about how they went to the movie theater here in town. I'm not old enough to remember that. That was before my time.
I know we do, the foundation does cinema on the green at the community center, and I think they've done a couple on Town Hill. If there's some way we could get that on a regular basis, do you think any way we could get the kids to come out? Because
it all depends on what's being aired. My mom believes you have to have something that's going to draw their attention.
Yeah.
If it's an older show or something, they're not going to be interested in as they would with a newer show that come up during the same time they did.
Yeah, I think kids have such access to things on the internet now. Seeing a movie is not quite as big a deal maybe as it was when I was a kid.
You know, also having a couple game trucks come into town, because it seemed like that's becoming huge, video games.
Yeah.
I mean, that could be something that would draw the kids out of the house. Even though they're still playing video games, it'll draw them out from their house and get them out to experience what's going on around town.
Cool. Well, is there anything else you'd really like to share about yourself or your childhood or the town? That maybe, is there something maybe most of us don't know about if we didn't grow up here?
Nothing really, other than I do have another job that I do. It's on a part-time basis. I work for Stork Funeral Home under the ownership of David Stork, which he's a great guy. I love working for him.
You're just into service everywhere. You're a fireman, you've been a policeman, you're a sheriff's deputy, and you also work at a funeral home part-time.
Yes, ma'am. I started with David Stork right after he purchased National Slough Funeral Home. I've been there. Some people look at me crazy and ask, how do you do it? It's something you have to just be accustomed to be able to do. You have to overcome those type of fears that you might have with doing work like that.
Well, it's certainly been a pleasure sitting here getting to know you a little bit a little bit better. And I'm so grateful that you're in town and you stayed here. I mean, so many young people move away. They find a way to move on to bigger and better things. Is there, what draws you to keep you here?
I just love it. I love it. I love the atmosphere here. I just love being in town here. I couldn't enjoy this living somewhere else. A lot of people think I'm crazy for not moving. I was like, no, I'm going to stay here. This is home to me. I'm not going anywhere.
Do you still have a lot of family here?
I do, but a lot of family has started relocating to Spotsylvania because it's more to do and you got shopping and...
Well, that's interesting. I was born in Spotsylvania, and I came here, so don't go there.
A lot of people went there, and so just a few of us here. I got not as many as it was when I was growing up as a kid. A lot of people moved away, but I don't plan to. And another reason I'm staying here, not only that, is with being involved with the fire department here in town and working for the sheriff's office. Couldn't have a better fire chief. David Roby's a great guy. Sheriff Seal Bollison's been very supportive of my volunteer career with the fire department. That small town backing, small county backing that's here, I don't think I'd be able to get that anywhere else.
Well, you know, I tell people jokingly, we are truly a one-stop light town. And there are not many of these places left anymore. It's certainly a great place to come and raise your family and be a kid, you know. I'm still a kid. It looks like you kind of enjoy that too.
Oh yeah.
All right, thank you again.
You're welcome.
See you later.
The programming on 88.1 FM is made possible in part by WWER Watts members, who show their support of community radio by donating online at wwer.org/membership. If you like our programming, please consider contributing to wwer.org/membership.